Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Again, another chilly morning after yesterday as I was driving in 3 degrees on the dashboard thermometer. But we will stay warm this afternoon by watching some racing and hopefully cashing some tickets. And as I say, I always like to live vicariously looking at the Florida tracks and Oak Lawn and Fairgrounds in the mix as well. They're not quite as warm, but they're a little more moderate. But we'll also watch some cold weather at Aqueduct during the afternoon as well. Be back in, you know, a couple hours with OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. So make sure to stay tuned for that. But this morning on Racing Across America, first let's start by thanking our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship during this championship season. They're sponsoring some of the programming and events here at Capital OTB, and we certainly appreciate that. On this morning's show, as always on a Sunday morning, we'll go over some of the stakes action from yesterday, highlighted by the Holy Bull on this coast and this Bob Lewis on the West Coast, a couple of steps on the Derby Trail. So again, we'll do a little stakes recap. We'll have a little handicapping. Maybe look at a pick four at Tampa, because the past couple of days, I've been on the sidelines, I will readily admit. And I said it when I did OTB Live Friday, that as that early pick four at Tampa was going along, I said, I'm kicking myself that I'm sitting on the sidelines, because the winners were horses I had in the mix and were easily playable in a pick four. And they were horses that weren't crazy, obviously. I had them in my mix, but favorites were getting beaten. And I said, this is going to be decent. And it was a nice little early pick for Friday at Tampa. Yesterday at Tampa, I had the late pick four. Again, I was sitting on the sidelines. Sometimes when I'm in here working, there's a little too much going on to catch up. And all of a sudden, they're off. And I should have. But the late pick four at Tampa had three of the winners on top. And the next to last leg, I think, was my third choice. So, again, it was a very playable. And I want to say it paid just under $800 yesterday. So a handicapping segment, we'll take a look at one of the pick fours at Tampa and see if we can make the magic happen 3 days in a row, perhaps. So that's coming up in the second segment. And then towards the end of the program today, Nick Tamaro will join us, part of an eclectic team covering and handicapping today's nice card down at Sam Houston. They'll have Martha Clausen, who does publicity for Sam Houston. She'll be part of the team, I think, doing post-race interviews. And Jessica Paquette will be part of the team. Nick's part of the team. And Keith Jones, no rest for the weary. Keith, 3 weeks away from retirement at Parks, but he subsequently moved to the Houston area. So he'll be part of the team covering a really nice day today down at Sam Houston. And that'll kick off our time about 2 o'clock, I think, something in that neighborhood. But on their card this afternoon at Sam Houston, a couple of nice races, the Connolly and the Ladies Classic. It was just, I want to say, a couple of years ago, Midnight Bijou won the Ladies Classic. But a really nice colony of jockeys and trainers down at Sam Houston this year. Very familiar name, Steve Asmussen, obviously one of the more prominent ones. But with the stakes action, pulling in some even more familiar names for us, not only amongst the trainers, but the horses that will be showing up there today will certainly be familiar to us. But and the Connolly and the Ladies Classic just highlight a stakes card on the undercard as well. But we'll have Nick Tamaro coming on with us a little bit later on to take a look at some of that stakes action down at Sam Houston. But let's kick things off with some stakes recaps. And again, the highlight yesterday was the three-year-old trail with the Holy Bull and the Bob Lewis. And we're going to kick things off taking a look at the Holy Bull. I liked a mount in here, the number 4 horse. That horse was horrible. Winds up getting pulled up, and so last in the field of 9. Prime Factor, the other, a mount was a second-time starter from Todd Pletcher. Prime Factor, another second-time starter for Pletcher. Prime Factor went off as the favorite. Prime Factor was the number 6. We'll watch him come down the stretch. And number seven, Greatest Honor, gets it done for Shug McGahee, and gets it done pretty nicely. Prime Factor, as the favorite, runs third. Tarantino runs second at 26-1. As I say, Amount, the other Pletcher I liked, just did nothing. But you can see even Prime Factor, the favorite, that is not an exciting third. The only horse out of this race that really gets my juices flowing is Greatest Honor. Tarantino, the second place finisher, had been all turf up until this point and runs a chart margin just about six lengths back in second. But that one was a length and a half ahead of Prime Factor. Now, I suppose Prime Factor, you can say, all right, first time around two turns, second start of the career, graded stakes. So I suppose you can give Prime Factor maybe a little bit of a pass and say, we'll see what we have next time. And I'll buy into that a little bit. But for the most part, Greatest Honor, okay. The horses behind that one, I'm not quite as convinced as far as moving forward on this Derby trail. But Greatest Honor, Shug said after the race, they'll take a look at the Fountain of Youth. If they think they can make that, they'll go to that. If they want a little more time, they'll train up to the Florida Derby, perhaps. But the Florida path is what they're looking at right now. Shug said something to the effect, it's going to take a lot for me to look elsewhere as far as leaving Florida at this point in the season with this horse. And, you know, he's based down at Payson, so makes a lot of sense. But Greatest Honor getting it done in a career debut. Took this one a few starts to get through the maiden breaker. Debuted up at Saratoga and ran third, then a Belmont third, an Aqueduct second, came down to Florida and broke the maiden on December 26th down at Gulfstream. So seems to have a little affinity for that strip. And again, looked pretty good yesterday, stepping out of the maiden ranks and into the two-turn Holy Bull. Getting it done with an 89 buyer figure. So nice buyer, but as I say, out of that race, the only ones that get my juices flowing, the only one that gets my juices flowing is Greatest Honor with, as again, maybe a little bit of an excuse for Prime Factor if you like that one. I'm not making a huge excuse for him, though. It's Greatest Honor for me out of that one as far as what I'm looking at going forward. All right, a little bit earlier on the card, the Swedish Champ, three-year-old fillies on the grass. I liked Con Lima in here, talked about it on the stakes preview, talked about it yesterday on Racing Across America on the handicappers report, and then again, talked about it on Racing Across America with Ellis Starr, and then again, handicappers report, Brian Otto. Honey Pants was the one that originally attracted my attention, the number two horse. But when I looked at the trouble in the Ginger Brew, I thought, you know what, there's not enough trouble there. I think Con Lima can go back-to-back on the front end. And Paco Lopez put Con Lima on the front. And at the top of the stretch, I thought number four, Con Lima, may be able to get it done. Had a little punch here. But coming late is number five, White Frost, a horse that Brian Otto liked and Ellis Starr liked. They both mentioned this one. I was not as enamored with the Bill Mott horse, but looks pretty good here down the stretch. I will say, Con Lima runs well to hold for a clear second. Running third in there was Domain Experience for Chad Brown. Candace O runs fourth. But White Frost, that was a nice little run from this one. Fourth career start, only the second start on the turf, and clearly has taken to the turf. The first two starts, a well-beaten fourth in the debut, a well-beaten second in the follow-up, both at Belmont, both on the dirt. And then towards the end of November, Belmont said, let's go over and try the turf, tried a mile and a 16th at Aqueduct and won that pretty nicely, and then follows up with the win yesterday in Stakes Company in the three-year-old seasonal debut. So Belmont now and Gainsway Stable with a nice little three-year-old filly on the turf, getting an 84 buyer yesterday in the Swedish Champ. And as I say, I like Con Lima, and that was a perfectly good effort. Went out, and I thought at the top of the stretch, looked to maybe have the heart to keep going, and did. And once in that those stretch drives like that, once a horse goes by, you just hope your horse holds the heart. Because a lot of times, once they get past, they kind of give it up a little bit. But Conlima kept running. So Conlima, another nice runner in that division as well. That one for Todd Pletcher. So, again, that was a nice addition of the Swedish Chant with at least a couple coming out of there that you would think would be worth watching going forward, again, in that subdivision of the three-year-old fillies on the turf. In the forward gal, three-year-old filly Sprinters going 7 furlongs. This is another one where I was a little bit disappointed by the horse that I was tilting towards. I thought Competitive Speed was going to be very interesting. 8-1 on the morning line, and kind of feeling like, yeah, that's a little generous. And sure enough, Competitive Speed dropped down to 4-1 when the gates opened. But Competitive Speed, coming out of 3 straight victories, including a win in the Glitter Woman last time, I tilted there. But Competitive Speed, the number 3 horse, is going to wind up 6th in the field of 8. Zagel, the number 7, went off as the 3-5 favorite, which seemed a little short in this field. But she wins nicely. Length and a quarter is the chart margin over Lady Traveler. Hole Bodemeister runs 3rd. And I will say, number 6, Lady Traveler, you can see the West Point Silks. They had a pretty good day with a couple of stakes placings. This race and another race we'll hit on in a moment. But no challenge to the winners of Gel, making only the 2nd career start for Todd Pletcher. Debuted back in December, towards the end of December, at Gulfstream for Pletcher at this 7 furlongs. Won the maiden breaker in the debut by just over 7 lengths and wins yesterday by, again, a chart margin of a length and a quarter, but really not challenged in the stretch. So a nice little runner, you would think, going forward for Pletcher, except the buyer figure, boy, a kind of anemic 68 off of a 75 debut win. So Zagel looked good, and we'll see. Sometimes, you know, these figures for lightly raced two-year-olds, they can get adjusted as time moves along. We'll see on Zagel. Seems at this point to be a nice runner for Pletcher, but again, that number was a little bit light. And as I say, Competitive Speed coming out of the 3 straight wins. Boy, the 6th place finish, disappointing to say the least. Went off at 4-1 was the second choice in there. But again, congratulations also to West Point, Dale Roman's Lady Traveler, who hadn't been seen since up the track finish in the Goldenrod at Churchill Downs. This was the 3-year-old debut for that one. And it was a nice little run to get up for 2nd. All right, let's flip just a little bit earlier on the card. Race number 6 yesterday at Gulfstream was the Swale for 3-year-old Sprinters. But again, I said it yesterday during the afternoon, these are the kind that a 3-year-old on turf that runs well or 3-year-old Sprinters that run well, you always have to figure at this time of the year, they will stretch out. The turfers will try dirt. The Sprinters will stretch out because you have to test if you have a good 3-year-old. And the winner came out of this, and trainer Safi Joseph said, yeah, we may look at the Fountain of Youth. The winner yesterday was Drain the Clock. I like By George, a second-time starter from Clement. Yet another one that clunked. By George winds up last in the field of 6. By George is the number 6 horse and just kind of trotted across the finish line. The career debut for By George, very good up at Aqueduct, but the follow-up obviously not so good. And that was in the back of the pack. You can't even see the 6 chicklet. But on the front of the pack, just as good as By George was bad, Drain the Clock was good. The chart margin here, 6 1/4 lengths. Running 2nd was King's Ovation. Again, a West Point horse, a nice stakes placing on the resume now. An Ultimate Badger runs 3rd. But Drain the Clock, nice story here. Came into the race with 3 wins in 4 career starts. The only non-win, the horse lost the jockey. So for all intents and purposes, the horse is now 4-for-4 because you draw a line through that jockey off race. Last time it won the Limehouse, so was 3-for-4 coming into the race, including a stakes victory. Went off yesterday as the $1.10 to the dollar favorite. And gets it done, as I say, nice chart margin, 86 buyer. But again, nice story, or a story of talent with the horse just 12 days ago being in a clinic for colic. The follow-up article in the DRF said the horse came up with colic at some point in the day, and they tried to treat the horse in the barn and eventually said, nope, let's send the horse to the clinic. The horse went to the clinic and within a few hours had gotten over it. And subsequently, trainer Safi Joseph said, I wasn't pressured by the owners. I said, let's bring the horse out on the track on Tuesday and see how he works out. Workout was nice, and drain the clock, gets it done. To essentially, as I say, now be 4-for-4, because again, the loss of the jockey race, you can draw a line through. This is a nice one. And as I also said, they're now thinking maybe Fountain of Youth. So they have a nice little runner here that up until this point has only sprinted. First start, 5 furlongs. Second start, 6 furlongs. The jockey off race was a 7-furlong race, but we'll draw a line through that. 6 furlongs in the Limehouse and stretched to 7 nicely yesterday in the Swale. And again, with an 86 buyer. So a nice performance from Drain the Clock, and we'll see where they go next. But again, won't be a shock to see him stretch to 2 turns. You have a nice looking 2-year-old. You're gonna, take your pops in there. By McLean's Music from an Arch Mayor. So we'll see what they do going forward. But as I say, it will not be a shock to see them give a shot to 2 turns in the very near future. All right, let's take a look at one more stakes race from Gulfstream, the Kitten's Joy. These are 3-year-olds on the turf. I was looking forward to this one because I wanted to see what Never Surprised would do. The Pletcher Rapoli runner that was 2-for-2 last year, including a nice stakes win at Aqueduct in November. Kentucky Pharaoh, the number 7, had won the Dania Beach most recently for Jack Sisterson. So I thought these two, to me, the race went through those two. Original was interesting to me. It's a Gamble was interesting, but it winds up to be Chess's Dream, the number 1 horse. Watch Tyler Gaffleone on the 1 sneak up the rail. Never Surprised, turns into the stretch and just can't really get going until too late. Went a little wide around the turn, and I wondered what Irad Ortiz had on the turn. It was like, does he have enough? Does he not? And then when he turned and straightened out, I thought maybe, but he just couldn't get going. And boom, he just gets the photo there. You can see it was a bob on the wire for second that Never Surprised took as the 1-2 favorite. But being 2 lengths behind the winner, it was not an exceptionally thrilling 3-year-old debut, but it was a 3-year-old debut. It was only the 3rd career start. So again, off the first 2 starts, I think Never Surprised is a pretty good runner. Kentucky Pharaoh coming out of the Dania Beach win, pretty much on the front end, was a little more disappointing. Was chasing Original most of the way around, then faded to be 5th in the field of 6. So Kentucky Pharaoh, we'll have to see if there's a rebound for that one coming up. But Never Surprised runs 2nd, and getting back to the winner, nice crafty ride from Tyler Gaffleone, comes up the rail, saves all the ground, which gives him the jump on a horse like Never Surprised. Winds up with a 72 buyer, a little weak on the buyer number, but it was a nice win. I said going into the race, I mention it all the time, I love this subdivision of 3-year-olds on the turf, and I thought, this is a race where 1 or 2 may come out of here and be real players in the division. I'm not as convinced now, although, again, I think Never Surprised, and Kentucky Pharaoh, they seem maybe better than what we saw yesterday, and Chess's Dream may be one to watch now going forward. I'm not sure about that, but it's Mike Maker, Michael Dubb and company, and as I say, helped by a crafty ride from Tyler Gaffleone. But it was the first stakes winner, according to what I read, from Jess's Dream. The regally bred Jess's Dream by curling out of Rachel Alexandra. Hence the name Jess's Dream. Jess Jackson, of course, the owner of Rachel Alexandra. So Jess's Dream, a well-bred horse that never really lived up to that on the track. But subsequently now is in the breeding shed and first stakes winner yesterday with Chess's Dream in the Kitten's Joy. That takes you through the stakes action yesterday at Gulfstream. We had a couple of more stakes races we will hit on going back to the Bob Lewis at Santa Anita, which again, step on the Derby trail as the Holy Bull was, and potentially the Swale, but as they were at Gulfstream out on the West Coast, the Bob Lewis yesterday. It was a field of six. Bob Baffert had a couple of horses in. He had Spielberg. He also had Medina Spirit, and it will be Bob Baffert getting yet another runner to pay attention to on the Derby trail, with the number one, Medina Spirit, getting it done. Roman Centurion runs second, and Hot Rod Charlie runs third in here. But as the even money favorite, it is Medina Spirit in a ding-dong battle. Will get it done by a neck. The chart margin from second to third is only a nose. You can see them all coming down here. But he just says, you're not getting by me. On the rail, he holds them off. That's a nice gutsy performance, because more often than not, those rail horses get passed in those situations. But in only the third career start, that was a pretty good performance. And coming off a pretty good performance behind the barnmate last time, ran a close-up second in the Sham last time behind Life is Good. So, again, Bob Baffert with yet another three-year-old on the Derby trail in Medina Spirit. Spielberg winds up fourth. Parnelli, who we talked about yesterday with Ellis Starr, he thought that horse could be a little bit interesting at a price. That one wound up fifth in the field of six. But Medina Spirit getting it done in the Bob Lewis, mile and a 16th, and a solid 91 buyer for Medina Spirit yesterday in the Bob Lewis. So, but I guess with the 91 buyer, you have to appreciate that gutsy won't let him get by style down the lane. Medina Spirit may have been the more impressive of the 2 3-year-old winners yesterday. Although I did like Greatest Honor, as I say, I didn't like much behind them, but. And finally, let's take a look at Aqueduct yesterday and the Toboggan. Nice field of hard hitters on the New York circuit facing off in the Grade 3 event. First graded stakes action of the season down in New York. I like Share the Ride in here. That one will wind up third as the 6-5 favorite. Pete's Play Call was coming off a couple of nice wins, including the Gravesend last time. That one's going to wind up second, but it will be American Power, the number five horse. Looking pretty good in here. Wins by half a length. Has to really work for it over Pete's Play Call. Share the Ride, as you can see, is back, winds up 2 3/4 lengths behind. Drafted fourth, Stan the Man, fifth in the field of five. But with a nice performance, American Power getting it done for Rob Atross. Kendrick Carmouche on board and coming out of an optional claimer. I said it yesterday. Really, Share the Ride, Stand the Man drafted a little more of a stakes resume for those. Pete's Play Call had the Gravesend win last time, first off the claim for Rudy Rodriguez. Other than that, he didn't have many stakes, but coming off a stakes win, he had a little stakes experience. American Power was really the only horse in the field where you look down the resume, you look down the page, not a whole lot of stakes experience in there, but put a Grade 3 on the resume yesterday in the Toboggan, did it with a nice stretch run, paying $9.50 and getting a solid 97 buyer. So nice performance there. Also, on the stakes scene yesterday, didn't call for the replays, but in Southern California, the San Pasqual was also on the card yesterday. Express Train got it done for John Sheriffs with a triple digit, a 100 buyer figure as the second choice at 5-2. The favorite was Idle, and that one wound up third. That's out in Southern California on the undercard. And a couple of stakes races at Oaklawn yesterday. Probably should have pulled up the American Beauty, but we'll maybe have that sometime in the future. But the Martha Washington was on the card yesterday. Will's Secret got it done for Dallas Stewart at 8-1 over the 4-5 favorite Coach, and pretty easily, five lengths plus with an 81 buyer. Will's Secret gets it done amongst the three-year-old fillies in the Martha Washington. And as I say, maybe should have pulled up the American Beauty, because it was Bill Mott's Frank's Rocket getting it done nicely. 3-5 favorite in yesterday's American Beauty. Ah, here we go. Very good. Thanks, Dan. Dan in the control room on the ball with the American Beauty here. And Frank's Rocket is the 7 horse, as you can see, and just going to kind of sneak up and get the lead into the stretch. 3-5 favorite. Amy's Challenge, the number 6 horse, is going to run second as the 5-2 second choice, and Wildwood's Beauty in third. But it was an off track yesterday at Oaklawn, so that was going to be maybe the question mark for Frank's Rocket, but certainly with all the talent this horse has for Bill Mott, the betting public wasn't fooled, sending this one off as the 3-5 favorite and getting it done. I'm just pulling up my PPs here. Seasonal debut, hadn't been seen since early November when running in the Breeders' Cup Sprint against the boys, but comes back here in the seasonal debut. Bill Mott ships in from his Payson Park base and picks up the win in the American Beauty. $150,000 purse up for grabs. Nice way to start the four-year-old season for Frank's Rocket. Now 7 wins in 12 career starts for that one. So, again, thanks to Dan in the control room for pulling up the replay there. Because, as I said, I should have called for that. With Frank's Rocket being a nice name horse and kicking off the four-year-old season in fine fashion. Worth taking a look at. All right, let's head to a break. When we come back from the break, again, do a little handicapping. And as I said, I was kind of on it with pick fours down at Tampa the last couple of days. So I think that's what we'll do. We'll take a look at a pick four down at Tampa on Sunday afternoon. That'll be the next segment. And then a little bit later on, Nick Tamaraw will join us. Again, part of the team this afternoon covering and handicapping the races for Sam Houston on a really nice stakes day down at Sam Houston. So we'll hit on some of that stakes action at Sammy coming up a little bit later on. Stay tuned. All of that right after this.
To find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing, Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning as we wrap up January. January 31st, January, boom, zipped. With a lot of great racing this month. I mean, Pegasus and Oaklawn kicked off, and there's been some nice racing down there. They started their three-year-old trail on opening day with the Smarty Jones, but New York has had some nice racing. Maryland, I'm always impressed by the winter stakes program down at Laurel, but they've had some nice stakes down there. So the year has started off nicely, and knock on wood, it will only get better as fans can start to go to racetracks as the year goes along. And even at the tracks where fans are allowed, it's limited, so in bigger numbers. And hopefully, again, I will knock on wood, by Saratoga, things start to return to some sense of normalcy. We'll see, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. All right. As noted, take a look at a pick four at Tampa for this afternoon. I'll probably hit the early pick four, but I'm going to look at the late pick four. That's isn't that the way it always works out? But I'll take a look at the late pick four, which I thought was kind of interesting. And again, I don't have a ticket formulated yet. I'll just give you some ideas on the four races. And I haven't also pulled up any scratch. I'm assuming scratches probably aren't up yet. But given all of that, the pick four this afternoon at Tampa begins in race number 6. Maiden Specials going a mile on the grass. I have a 2, 4, 8, and 1. Golden Plume goes out for Chad Brown and Judd Mott in a career debut. And Chad has been pretty good shipping over to Tampa this year. His horses, for the most part, have all run very well. And a couple of them have paid nicely, too. There was the Klarovich runner the other day when I was on the air that got it done at a decent little price. You know, you think Chad and Klarovich ships over to Tampa. But the betting public hasn't been on all of them. Now, this one is, I believe, the morning line favorite, and I don't think this horse is going to escape. You know, Firster from Chad and Judd Mott by Candy Ride. Been working over at Palmetto's for Chad, but I think, you know, I'm going to trust their judgment to be making the clever move to debut over here at Tampa. Second spot, Lachine. Of those with some experience, the Graham Motion Runner certainly looks like a player in and amongst this group with nice improving buyer numbers, start one to start two to start three, and they've only gotten better since the horse has moved to the turf in the last couple of starts. Bramble Bush goes out for Mike Deeney and Ballybrit. If you watch enough, you know I like the Mike Deeney runners all season long. He had a nice season last year at Tampa. His summer down at Monmouth was good, and he has followed up having a good season again this year at Tampa. So the Deeney runners are always attractive to me. He's okay first time out of the box. There's a steady string of works. We'll put Bramble Bush in the mix. And then Nancy's Connection, New York bred from Patricia Generazio, Louis Carvajal trains. He's okay with Firsters. I just thought this one at a little bit of a price might be worth taking a look at. Certainly when I got down to that four spot, this was the one that appealed to me. If I think all of the others that I haven't, well, the three is a first-time starter. That one would probably be a little bit of a surprise, but the others all have some experience making amongst that group. Number one, Nancy's Connection, the fresh face in there. So we'll see, you know, if you wanted to look for an alternative to kick things off with a price, maybe that's one to consider putting in the mix. I could also go the other way probably and kind of lean on the Chad Brown first-time starter. But in the sixth at Tampa, 2-4, 8-1. Race number seven at Tampa on Sunday afternoon. Conditional claimer, $8,000 tags. Don Winters, a two lifetime, a mile and 40. The trip, I have a 10, 1, 6, and 5. I put Mazzano on top. Just seems to be in some good form. Had a layoff from late summer until showing up at Tampa in November, the end of November. Subsequently, four starts down here this season. A fourth, a third, a win, and a third. The win two back was a maiden breaker last time against non-winners of two. Other than had a little trouble and actually got moved up after a DQ. So with that experience under the belt at this level, Gallardo sticking on board. We'll look for Mazzano to get it done. Second spot, Secret Magician. This one broke the maiden last time. But again, since being at Tampa this season, it seemed to run well. Last couple of starts seemed to get into some decent form. Some good form. I think, you know, it's always a question mark when you move from the maiden to the end too well. It's a little bit of a jump, but not as much as it used to be before they had these end too wells. And you just have to look at how the horse went through the maiden breaker and kind of compare. I think Secret Magician fits very nicely with this group. Doku in the third spot. Broke the maiden two back, and this one did have a little difficulty first time against N2L types. Was well beaten running fourth last time in a field of 10. But I think, you know, again, just looking at what this horse typically does as compared to the rest of this field, I think a good fit this afternoon. And Got Fashion at 12-1 on the morning line. Could be a player in here. Comes out of a couple of 7-furlong sprints. This is the third start back, stretches out. I kind of like that angle, and I think we will get a price in here. So, again, if you're looking for an alternative, the number 5 is maybe a direction to look at off that angle that I like. The third start back, couple of sprints to start that cycle, and now stretches in the third start back. So, seventh race at Tampa, 10-1, 6-5. Race number 8 at Tampa on Sunday afternoon. Again, conditional claimers. This time they're going to go a mile on the grass. I have it 6, 10, 7, and 4. The number six is Bucks Investment. A couple of second place finishes most recently at this level. So in good form, competitive at this level. Just looking at the rest of this field, I think there's the potential to break through today and make a little noise. So Bucks Investment on top. At 6-1, Mr. Who may be a little bit interesting in the pick four. Comes over from the east coast of Florida, so I like the venue move, but not only gets some venue class relief perhaps, but price as well, as this horse has been running. Gets a little bit better over at Gulfstream, so may get the wake-up call for Louis Carvajal on the move and the drop. In the third spot, Violator. Have 8-1 here, but again, it's a horse that I think, just looking at the last few races right in and around this company at Tampa, I think this horse will be okay. The last was a little bit of a dud, but 2 and 3 starts back, the horse was competitive. And again, given this field today, I think what we saw 2 and 3 starts back is more likely to be what we see today. Soap at 15-1, if I'm pronouncing that right. Given the spelling, I'm thinking it probably rhymes with hope. So I'm going Soap. We'll see what Rich Grunder does. Third career start, Gallardo on board after a couple of starts over at Gulfstream. So, again, you're getting a venue move that I think is a little bit interesting. And a horse that maybe has some upside potential with only the third career start. But again, as I say, I found it interesting. Gallardo was attracted to jump on board, and with the venue move, maybe moves forward this afternoon at a price. In the eighth at Tampa, 6, 10, 7, and 4. And finally today at Tampa, we wind things up in race number 9. Maiden Claimers going 7. I'll go 3, 7, 9, and 10. Number 3 is Capture Me Now. It's Gerald Bennett and Sammy Camacho. When I see that team down here, certainly this season, it automatically draws my attention. Certainly off the last couple of starts, you can't have a lot of confidence, but that's pretty much the way you have to feel about the whole field. And so in a weak field like this, where really nobody's jumping off the page, I'm always tempted to tilt towards the potent connections, and these are the very potent connections this season down at Tampa. So I'll put Capture Me Now on top. Sharon's Law in the second spot. This one is showing some decent recent form, a third, a fourth, and then a good second place finish last time in a very similar event. So I think Sharon's Law is in some good form and logical as a contender. Chatting with Jenny in the third spot off a third place finish last time in a similar event. And then Tenerife Moon. This horse is going to be a player as well. The last couple of numbers are a little bit light, but gets a cutback. Competitive more often than not in recent races. I think this horse is certainly one to take a close look at on a pick four ticket. In the ninth and final at Tampa, 3, 7, 9, and 10. All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, as promised earlier, we will be joined by Nick Tamaro, who will be covering for Sam Houston. Their nice day down there this afternoon. We wanted to alert you to some nice stakes action down in Texas today, down at Sammy with the Connolly, the Ladies Classic, and more. So all of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
Allegheny County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio. Happy to be joined now by Nick Tamro, part of the team covering the racing down at Sam Houston this afternoon. As I say, an eclectic bunch, and I was interested to see Keith Jones in the mix. I said earlier, no rest for the weary, as Keith just about 3 weeks away from retiring, but he moved down to the Houston area, so he'll be part of the team. But also, again, Nick Tamro handicapping and looking at the races, so I thought we'd alert people to some of the stakes action today. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Great to be with you. How you doing?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk about a really nice day down at Sam Houston. Let's just talk in general. What's our weather look like today?
Weather's picture perfect. It's going to be 60 degrees. There's not a cloud in the sky, and the main track's going to be fast and the turf firm. So couldn't have drawn it up any better.
And talk a little bit about, for folks who aren't normally following Sam Houston, let's just set things up a little bit for the season as well. I was kind of happily surprised as the season was approaching to see the trainers who were aiming some strings for Sam Houston this year. You know, Steve Asmussen normally down there, but and it's evidenced today by the entries. I mean, not just the regulars, but you look at the stakes action, there will be a lot of familiar names. But just talk about day-to-day, really nice colony, jockey side and trainer side this season down at Sam Houston.
Yeah, things have improved quite a bit from 19 into 20, and the meet was really going very well before COVID set in last year. And that has to do with some tax money being diverted to the racing fund, to the purse account. And the purses at Sam Houston have effectively tripled from 3 years ago. And that's having an incredibly strong impact on the overall quality of the horse flesh. And it's definitely improved the betting product, which is up over 25%. At the meet, and that's coming off a meet where it was up about 30%. So the public has definitely supported it. Unquestionably, if you're a bettor, what you're going to see are low takeout horizontal wagers, 12% takeouts in every multi-race bet, daily double pick three, pick four, pick five, and also a 50-cent pick six that has a $14,000 carryover starting in race five. It's actually an all-stakes pick six. So yeah, it's been great to see some of the bigger names in the riding colony. Stuart Elliott is down for the first time, riding first call for Steve Asmussen. He's ridden every one of Steve Asmussen's winners and has picked up a couple of winners elsewhere. Raylu Gutierrez, who's familiar to New York racing fans, having won graded stakes races up at Aqueduct. He's been down here for the meet and has done very well, second in the standings at the moment. So we've seen some big names. It's been good, and we've seen a lot of support for the Houston Racing Festival from big-name trainers and jockeys over the years, and this year feels like no exception.
Yeah, I said it was just a couple of years ago, Midnight Bijou won the Ladies Classic, so it certainly attracts some names, and this year, as you say, no exception, and we'll hit on some of that stakes action. And yeah, you mentioned Raylu. Was easy to root for Raylu, an upstate guy. He was at Saratoga this past season, and certainly rooting for him this year down at Sam Houston. But let's kick things off and take a look at the two highlights on the day, and we'll kick in another stake as well a little bit later on. But first up, the J.B. Connolly Grade 3 event, a couple $100,000 up for grabs. They're going to go a mile and a half on the turf. And this was kind of interesting. It's a fun field. It's a big competitive field. But normally when I look for replays to pull up while we're talking, I'm looking for horses in some form and maybe a win in the last start or two. And this field doesn't necessarily have that. As I say, it's a good competitive field with familiar names, certainly on the trainer side, McPeak, Maker, Asmussen, Brian Lynch, Stidham, and horses folks will be familiar with. Tenfold's interesting to me. Tried the turf last time, back on again this afternoon, but a horse that earlier in the career I had liked for Steve Asmussen on the dirt. Spooky Channel for Brian Lynch I find intriguing. Vittori Kin for Stidham. But I pulled up a replay, and as I say, I had to go back a little bit. I pulled up a replay from Conviction Trade. We're looking at a claiming race back at Belmont in the middle of October. Conviction Trade's the number 10 horse. He's going to win this and be claimed out of this race and move into the Mike Maker barn. Subsequently, a third and an optional claimer at Aqueduct, and then tried the two-mile Jerkins last time at Gulfstream and wound up running a close-up second, and now gets the cutback to a mile and a half this afternoon. I thought Conviction Trade was maybe a little bit interesting. What are your thoughts on the Connolly?
Yeah, you know, this race was extended from a mile and an eighth to a mile and a half back for the 2016 running, and Mike Maker had won the last two runnings at 9 furlongs, and he won the first four at 12 furlongs. So he's actually won this race 7 times overall. We've seen him have tremendous success. Last year was the first time he missed it, going back to 2013 when Dot Matrix actually held off two Mike Maker trainees down the stretch. This field is more in rehab, I guess you could say, to put it mildly, in terms of looking for things to turn around, although it's hard to ignore that Spooky Channel is coming into this race very similarly to the way he came into the WL McKnight last year, coming off the Fort Lauderdale. And he ran better in the Fort Lauderdale in 2020 than he did in 2019. I think he's strictly the one to beat. Brian Lynch, obviously, shipping with intent. Julian Leperoux, his regular rider, coming along. And I think the good thing about Spooky Channel is he's not going to give up too much ground early and have too much to do. With that said, this looks like it's going to be an honestly run 12-furlong event. There's a couple of potential speed horses that'll be forwardly placed, I think including Conviction Trade, who you were just talking about, who found his way to the lead in the Jerkins before getting out-finished by Sir Anthony. And we've seen Maker do extremely well transitioning to Conviction Trade with horses that he ultimately sent longer. And I think the claim back in October was probably done so with the idea that this horse might excel at a mile and 3/8 and beyond. And he certainly didn't prove anything otherwise. So they were the main two for me. I'm interested to see how the race is bet because you have all of this sort of darkened recent form. I know there's some support for Tenfold out there as his turf debut happened last time in the Diliberto at Fairgrounds. And he finished a good sixth, if there is such a thing, beaten only two lengths. The repeat winner Logical Myth was impressive in that victory, getting up over Cross Border, who of course came back and was in the frame at the finish of the Pegasus Turf. So I think there are some things to like about Tenfold. The other horse that I'm going to find a way to use, who I think is a little dangerous, is Marzo. And Marzo definitely has darkened form coming into this. He's on an 8-race losing streak going back to the Sycamore of 2019. And in those defeats, he's picked up a couple of decent efforts, including the third-place finish in the Connolly last year. I don't want to hold the Sword Dancer or the recent Prairie Bayou against him, as the Sword Dancer came on an extremely boggy course, and the Prairie Bayou was just a jumping-off point for what's going to be a six-year-old campaign. So those are the main three I'm going to use are Conviction Trade, Marzo, and Spooky Channel, but I do think there are a lot of alternatives.
Yeah, I'm with you. When I looked at this race yesterday, I was curious when they go in the gate who's going to be the favorite, what the prices will be, because it's a nice big competitive field and it's going to be a lot of fun. The Connolly, and a little bit earlier on the card, the Houston Ladies Classic, mile and 16th, the trip for the girls going up for a purse of $300,000. And again, this is a fun field as well. I pulled up while we talked last year's Ladies Classic to watch a nice battle between Lady Apple, the number 4 horse, and Serengeti Empress, the number 1 here. Serengeti Empress went off as the 3-5 favorite. Lady Apple for Steve Asmussen went off at 8-1. And, you know, you talked in the prior race about the year-to-year kind of a move, and I thought this horse maybe, given what we saw last year and the 1-for-1 record at Sam Houston and her overall record, maybe it's a little bit of a horse for a course angle to kind of jump on this afternoon for Asmussen and Stuart Elliott. There are others in here. Latruska clearly going to take some action. Motion of Motion also for Asmussen. Mike Maker with the three-horse Ujai, if I came anywhere near the correct pronouncing. Ujai, maybe?
Ujai.
Oh, okay. Good. There you go. And that one, interesting, obviously, also as well for Mike Maker. But what are your thoughts on the Ladies Classic?
Yeah, you know, I think this race is all about Latruska. I think she's the controlling speed, and she's a mare who's shown a lot of talent on multiple occasions. I think the thing that sort of makes her a little bit vexing is that in her poor efforts, she's run quite poorly. But really, take those into consideration. Using context, the Beldame and the Ballerina were both extremely fast-paced races where she was facing horses of higher quality. So I'm never going to hold losing to Serengeti Empress and a horologist, Point of Honor, Dunbar Road, horses like that against a mare like Latruska, who has been on the grounds for a week, has gotten acclimated, and she looks to hold all the cards in here. I hope that things go cleanly as far as her getting to the lead. I thought her Shuvi win last year was one of the more exciting wins of the Saratoga meet. I mean, I always clamor for people to use the natural speed of their racehorses, and she did just that. She sort of has one way to go, so I would expect Jesus Castañón to be very aggressive in the opening stages and get her to the front. If there are alternatives out there, I would say that Lady Apple will get probably the most support. It's been an ugly road since last year's Ladies yeah. Classic win, which was a tremendously impressive effort, winning a four-horse battle down the stretch. Spanky Broussard last time was a good jumping-off point. She didn't run particularly well. She's going to have to elevate her game if the real Latruska shows up, but one thing I can tell you is that Steve Asmussen wins at a very high percentage at Sam Houston, does extremely well in every category, and he knew exactly how to get Lady Apple into this race, so I wouldn't be beaten by her in any kind of multi-race play.
Very good. Let's take a look at one more stake on the card this afternoon. Let's go back to race number 7, which is the Texas Turf Mile. A couple $100,000 up for grabs, and as the name indicates, a mile on the grass. Boy, another nice full field in here of three-year-olds, and I talk about it quite a bit. I love this subdivision of three-year-olds on the turf. There are opportunities all year long at venues across the country, and it's always a lot of fun. We will not look for Chess's Dream to run this afternoon because that one got it done in one of these three-year-old turf races yesterday at Gulfstream. But again, it is a nice competitive field. Your thoughts on the Texas Turf Mile?
Yeah, this race has actually come up very strong 2 years in a row. This is just the second running, and last year's field yielded a couple of stakes winners subsequently, including the Del Mar Derby winner, Pixelate. And I love Palazzi in this field. The one, he's 6-1 on the morning line. Full disclosure, I make the morning line. This is a different race than it was when the field was completely intact. As you can take Harlan Estate, Chess's Dream, and Win From Within all out. Win From Within was certainly going to take the most money, I think, of those, that group of three. But Palazzi's maiden win last time out was incredibly impressive. He looped the field around the far turn, opened up a clear advantage in mid-stretch, and then held sway gamely. No doubt he made a major step forward moving to the turf, and I think he's going to get a decent enough pace to run out in here. If Declan Carroll can work out a trip, I'm really looking forward to betting him. Probably not anywhere close to that 6-1, but still, if we can get him at the 7-2 range, I think in terms of the multi-race place, he has a real opportunity to put a little spice into it.
Yeah, that's okay, and it kicks off a late pick four down there as well, so maybe a good way to start that off. Nick, appreciate the visit and the conversation, and again, I wanted to alert people to a really nice day down at Sam Houston this afternoon, and a really nice season as well. And I guess given what you said, maybe to paraphrase Field of Dreams, if you build the purse account, they will come, because, again, it is a very nice colony down there this year. So we'll be watching some Sam Houston certainly this afternoon and going forward as well. Appreciate the conversation. We'll talk again.
Thanks so much for having me, Seth. Take care.
Appreciate it. Nick Tamro, again, he'll be part of the team covering the really nice stakes action this afternoon down at Sam Houston. Check it out, because it is a stakes-laden card. We hit on three of them, but there are plenty more stakes on the card as well down at Sam Houston this afternoon. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. Again, be back in an hour or so. I'm just looking at, about an hour, because that'll be the kickoff to Gulfstream on this Sunday afternoon. So we'll jump in this afternoon, a little Gulfstream, a little Aqueduct, a little Tampa as well. But I'm going to wrap it up. They're also just kicking off the pregame at Naira, so we'll get to that with the Big A and Andy Serling. Wrapping it up for Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you this afternoon.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.